I'm calling. I am that. Oops, I forgot to unmute, didn't I? Thank you for unmuting me. So hi, everybody, and welcome to what I am calling I Am That. But really, it's just some teachings of Nisargadatta Maharaj. And this week, I have decided to share from the Nisargadatta Gita. So if you have that book, grab that book. It's a collection of quotes, and I'm going to start with quote number 6. So here we go. The I am is. Now, of course, we know what he means, but I bet if he was writing like in Microsoft Word or something, he'd get little green lines because that's not good English, right? The I am is. But we know what he means. The I am is. It is ever fresh. All else is inference. When the I am goes, all that remains is the absolute. And I'm not real familiar with the word inference, so let's look that up. All else is a conclusion reached on the basis of evidence and reasoning. So, you know, when he says all else is inference, all else is a conclusion reached on the basis of evidence and reasoning, that doesn't mean that the evidence was right or that the reasoning was wise, right? You know, for example, if we decide that we are less than others, right? We may see apparent evidence that we're less than others, and therefore we take on that belief. But it's not true. So let's read the quote again. The I am is. It is ever fresh. All else is inference. When the I am goes, all that remains is the absolute. I guess one thing I want to point out, and we've been pointing this out a lot lately, is that the last sentence says, when the I am goes, all that remains is the absolute. So again, it's implying that the I am itself is actually illusory, because it goes. This is the commentary underneath this quote. The sense of being is always there. Fresh as ever, it does not leave you, it is always available. At whatever stage you are in your life, it has stuck to you unchanged. Circumstances, relationships, people, ideas, and so forth. Everything else has been changing and is inferential. But the I am has remained and has stood throughout this turbulence. And what will happen when this I am goes? What will remain? The hint is now more emphatic on something beyond the I am, the absolute. So again, we've been looking at this a lot lately, and it's interesting because it's showing up both in our Nisargadatta teachings and in the final teachings I'm sharing from Ramana Maharshi as we're finishing that book on Sunday night. And it will definitely show up with completely different language, but it will definitely show up in Bernadette Roberts. So again, this is interesting because many people that we would call like-minded people on this same spiritual path think of the I am as the truth, as the enlightenment, right? When you awaken to the I am, you're there. And we are getting repeated messages from the materials that we're looking at that says that's not true. And in fact, even the note to this particular quote, which proves that our understanding of these quotes is not incorrect. The note says that the hint is now more emphatic on something beyond the I am, which would be called the absolute. And again, I don't know what to say about this, except that my heart is on fire. My heart is all lit up right now. If you could feel my heart, it's pretty amazing. I mean, it's just really big and blown wide open, big, maybe the biggest I've ever felt it, to be honest. So there's some kind of a confirmation going on there in the body. But, you know, this leaves me without a lot to say. I mean, I think I've said this before because it's the only thing I have to say about this, is that it's nice to know that the I am is not it. You know, I'm currently reading a book for a man that I'm going to interview. His name is Jeffrey Martin. I'm going to interview him in June for our satsang. And in this book, they have a continuum, which appears to be what I would call degrees of awakening. On this continuum, they use the word location, location one, location two, location three. But really what they appear to be are degrees of awakening. Like people who awaken to location one still have lots of triggers left. By the time you get to location two, there are less triggers. There's more inner peace. And by the time you get to location three, even fewer triggers. Now the triggers have to be, you know, usually pretty big things, like something happening to a family member or something like that. And what's happening for me is I'm reading these triggers. I mean, sorry, reading these locations on this continuum. As I just keep thinking, none of these are awakening. You know, none of these, I mean, first of all, awakening wouldn't have degrees. How can you have degrees of awakening? And all of these have some element of human still. Shifts, I would call them shifts. They are legitimate shifts, right? But they're not awakening. And since so many people on our spiritual path seem to think of shifts as awakening. By the way, I want to tell you what's going on inside. This thing has spread all the way up into my throat now. It, you know, it's just like, almost like, you know, I don't know what to call it. It's this, it's a blown wide open feeling, you know, like a very positive explosion. I don't know what else to call it. But as I'm talking, it's just going right up into my throat now, all the way from my heart, you know, all the way from, starts at the heart, but I can now feel it all the way down to here, all the way up to here, all the way across here. So it's very pleased with what's being said. You know, I don't know why it matters. I don't know why it matters that that some people mistake shifts for awakenings, and that somehow we're getting the information so that maybe we won't make the same mistake. I don't know how it matters. All I can say is that appears to be what's happening, and I'm grateful. And something inside of me is extremely happy about this. And that's all I have to say about it. And what else can you say about this? The information is very clear. This is what Nisargadatta Maharaj, Ramana Maharshi, and Bernadette Roberts are telling us, that the I am is illusory. Even though most people think they awaken to the I am is illusory. It is not what we are. And we can't even begin to imagine, oh my God, this thing is going crazy. We can't even begin to imagine what's beyond the I am. It once occurred to me that the I am is an idea, a beginning idea. And out of that I am, the entire sense of personhood, the entire sense of world, all the entire sense of universe, all of that came into being from the idea I am. And none of it could be without that root idea I am. And of course, when the I am goes, everything else goes too. I mean, you know, that I could see clearly. I don't know how to say this next part. If the I am is an idea that can birth an entire universe, then upon return to the absolute, is there the possibility for another idea, one we cannot even begin to fathom because we're so limited by our core idea, the I am? Is there another idea that could be explored just as the I am has been explored? Were you all able to hear that? I mean, I don't know. It's just a curiosity, but that's how the I am began, right? But I realize that we can't imagine what's beyond the I am because we are in an I am box. You know, this whole box, this whole world, this whole construct is based on that first idea, I am. And we can't imagine what's not in this box. But that doesn't mean that what's not in this box is bad or scary or lacking. It just means it's beyond our imagination. And anyone that we have ever known of that has awakened beyond this I am has described it with words like bliss, ecstasy, right? Those are the two words I'm really aware of. The Christian mystics tend to use the word ecstasy. And the Eastern people tend to use the word bliss. Of course, Buddha called it nirvana. I'll just read the quote again and then we'll go on. There's just not, even though I'm talking a lot, there's just not much to say about this. The I am is. It is ever fresh. All else is inference. When the I am goes, all that remains is the absolute. So that takes me to number 7, except now I'm almost getting high off this thing. It's starting to get into my head now. I swear, even though I'm in Colorado, I haven't been smoking anything.
Perhaps that's the bliss.
Perhaps that's the bliss. Perhaps I'm getting a little sample of the bliss. Who knows? Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Good call, Don. All right, let's go to number 7. Give all your attention to the I am, which is timeless presence. The I am applies to all. Come back to it repeatedly. And it's probably quotes like this that cause people to be confused. I don't know if cause is the right word, but it's the misinterpretation of quotes like this. Because here it refers to the I am as the timeless presence. And some people may misinterpret timeless presence as eternal. But timeless presence does not mean eternal. Timeless presence means that the I am is unchanged from the time I was 5 to the time I was 25 to the time I was 50, right? It's the same presence that I have always known. It's a timeless presence. But that doesn't necessarily mean eternal. And of course, the previous quote points out that the I am goes, which means the I am can't be eternal, right? Another reason why people may mistake the I am as it, awakening, is because of things like give all your attention to the I am. You know, people may not understand. Well, you know, if it's illusory, why would I be giving all of my attention to it? But Ron, yesterday in Gentle Healing, I read two things that Ron wrote, and Ron did an excellent job, completely with symbols, of course, completely made up story. They did an excellent job of describing the I am as having a secret. And Nisargadatta has said this too, that it has a secret and it will reveal its secret to you. And that secret could be called the way out of the illusion. It could be called the realization of the truth. You know, the I am, Nisargadatta has said, is the first fall from the absolute. But in that first fall from the absolute is the memory of the steps that were taken away from the absolute. So it would have the same steps retraced, would be the steps returned to the absolute. So you focus on the I am because it knows the fall. Therefore, it knows the return, even though it's illusory, right? You focus on the I am until it reveals its secret. So you give all your attention to the I am, which is your a timeless presence. You've always known it. It applies to everything else. The I am was the first thing you knew without knowing that you knew it, really. The I am was the first thing you knew in this lifetime. Everything else has been added on. You did not know you were boy or girl. You did not know your parents were your parents. You did not know the name that you're now called by. All of that was added on. You knew the I am first. So it applies to everything in your lifetime. It's the baseline, the foundation of everything. And you keep returning your attention to the I am, focusing on the I am instead of the add-ons. And it's by focusing on the I am at some point that secret is revealed. So a proper understanding of this quote shows that the I am is not the I am is not it awakening, but the I am is it, the doorway. Right? It is the doorway. So give all your attention to the I am, which is timeless presence. The I am applies to all. Come back to it repeatedly. All right, so let's read what the commentary says. Use your memory to go back in time to the stage when you just came to know that you are without words. Did you have a sense of time then? And I don't know about you guys, I can't go back in my memory to then. I can only go back in my imagination, but it actually feels like a fairly trustworthy imagination. When the question is asked, did you have a sense of time then? I think I can say pretty sure that as a baby, I did not, right? As an infant, I did not. I didn't know what 2 o'clock in the afternoon would be, right? Did you know, it's funny because I just said some of this stuff and I swear I didn't cheat and read it in advance. Did you know who you are or who your parents are? And we did not. That is something we learned as they cared for us, hopefully, right? Not everybody had parents who cared for them, but as they cared for us, we learned who they were. As people called our name long enough, you know, many times we started to realize that name means, we called it me, this me. Did you know where you were geographically located? No. I was in Coffeyville, Kansas, but I didn't know that. You knew none of these. It was a timeless presence. You did, of course, know space, which came with the I am, but not time. And this timeless presence applies to all. Come back to this timeless and wordless I am again and again. So it's helpful to contemplate what I'm going to call the infant point of view, right, that we were all born with. Contemplate the infant point of view and what we would have known, which we couldn't have put the words to it, but there would have been a knowledge that I exist. There wouldn't have been a thought to go with it. But I know I exist. I know I'm hungry. I know I'm sleepy. I know I'm uncomfortable or in pain, right? I know I'm comfortable. You know, and again, I don't know any of these words, but I know I feel warm and cozy and I, you know, and I'm content now. But I mean, you know, there wasn't much more that I knew. Everything else was learned. Those things were natural. Everything else was learned. And so, especially with meditation, you know, when going into meditation, to really search for that innocence, that infant innocence, that not knowing anything except for, you know, these basics, and find that and then just stay there. Just in the I am, just in the existence, right? Quote eight says, hang on to the I am and go beyond it. Without the I am, you are at peace and happy. So once we find this I am in meditation, then our goal is just to abide there. And at least my experience, you know, I'm really happy with my ability to meditate and really frustrated with my ability to meditate. I'm really happy because, you know, I remember it wasn't that long ago when I couldn't meditate 10 minutes without falling asleep. Now I can meditate 2 to 3 hours, not a problem. Maybe, I don't know if I could go longer. My schedule doesn't usually allow it, but I'm not quitting because I'm sleepy. I'm just quitting because I have to. I have to go to work. So I would imagine I could go longer. So I'm really happy with that progress. I'm really frustrated with the fact that although I can focus on the I am presence and the mind can slow way down, I don't really experience long periods of silent mind. You know, for me, meditation remains what Nisargadatta would call a constant struggle. It's a constant struggle to focus on the I am and not follow the thoughts that are still there, calling me away from the I am. And so that's just as it is right now. But what I am able to do is to repeatedly practice self-inquiry. Self-inquiry is my primary tool. And to repeatedly ask questions like, what sees this? What's aware of this? What is aware? What's awareness? What am I? Maybe not at that pace. I think I'm a little slower in meditation. There's more gaps between. But those questions, I can focus on those questions for the entire time I meditate, and they allow me to remain focused on awareness regardless of what's arising. But I think what I have is a wish for stuff to quit arising. And that's where the frustration comes in, because the stuff continues to arise and I have to continue to practice self-inquiry in order to remain focused on awareness or on the I am presence. By the way, this thing's all the way up at the top of my crown chakra now. But I do hang on to the I am, you know, even though I have to work at it. I hang on to the I am. I don't listen to Muji much anymore. I listen to Muji meditations a couple of times. Muji's meditations are too passive for me. With Muji's meditations, you know, he just has you kind of just set and be. And when I just set and be, I do, again, either get sleepy or I find myself getting caught up in thoughts more. I need the more active form of meditation that Ramana Maharshi teaches as self-inquiry. In order to stay focused on the I am, I need to be actively doing it. If I'm passive, It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So hang on to the I am and go beyond it. Without the I am, you are at peace and happy. Again, implying that the I am is not eternal. It has an end. This is the commentary. Right now, you have this I am. Hang on to it. It is the only, listen to this, it is the only means you have to go beyond. And there is nothing else. So it is the doorway, not one of the doorways, right? It is the doorway. Hang on to it. It is the only means you have to go beyond. And there is nothing else. What was it Jesus said? I am. Does anybody remember the rest of the sentence?
The way, the truth, and the life.
There we go. I am being the doorway, right? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life, right? Pointing at the doorway. And everybody thought he was talking about him. Hang on to it. It is the only means you have to go beyond, and there is nothing else. And what has this I am given you but conflict and misery? It came, it identified with the body, and you became an individual. Now go back, come to the I am, transcend it, and be peaceful and happy. And this entire book is going to be about this. Because it only has one chapter. The entire chapter in the book is called I Am. It's called the first and the last chapter. So, you know, I will go back and forth between this book and Consciousness and the Absolute, maybe occasionally hit I Am That I Am again. But, you know, whenever we come to this book, I don't think we can anticipate new knowledge. I think we can anticipate reinforcement of this one fact that we need to become aware of the I am, which is always here. Focus on the I am. Stay focused on the I am until it reveals its secret. Right? And I think that's the moral of the story, which is why I decided to keep the teaching I am that I am. All right. So I'm going to release the mic and say have a wonderful evening, everyone. And I'll see you all in La Vida. I'll see you tomorrow. Everyone else, I'll see you on Sunday.